Welcome to the Soul Surgery Podcast. My name is Nikki Clinch, and I am your host. I am a maturation facilitator, teacher and coach, integrative holistic health counselor, breathwork facilitator, and author. I am the founder of the Academy of Maturation Coaching, The Alchemy of Being, where I train as many people as I can to become powerful spaces for human beings to come home to their authentic truth. Maturation is a powerful evolutionary process of dissolving trauma, breaking free of stuck patterns, and growing and healing at the taproot. Growing out of who we thought we were from the stories led by our past conditioning in order to grow and evolve into who we were born to be. In this podcast, I will be sharing many different things with you, opening up the doorways to my coaching sessions where you can witness with your own eyes how trauma contaminates our reality and how we can dissolve it, heal it at the root, and rewrite the story of our lives, reclaiming our power and reminding each one of us that who we are is wholeness. I will be interviewing some of the world's most prominent teachers in spirituality, healing, transformation, and human evolvement, and sharing with you my own teachings and learnings along the way, and above all, sharing with you my heart. The purpose of this podcast is to remind each one of you who you really are, to open up the doorway to a new possibility, to a new paradigm, to healing, health, transformation, and our evolvement as individuals and a species. So I hope you enjoy today's episode. One thing that you can do for me, if you find this podcast useful and if you love it, please do subscribe. And if you feel called to, leave a review, because reviews really matter. They help to spread the word and help to spread this podcast to as many people as we can. And lastly, if you have any big aha moments, any shifts, any insights in any of these episodes, please do share it with me. Share with me which episode it was, where in the episode it happened, and how it has impacted you and your life. So without further ado, let's get going. I hope you enjoy today's episode on the Soul Surgery Podcast. Welcome to the Soul Surgery Podcast, everyone. My name is Nikki Clinch, and I am your host. Today's episode is just me, and I am going to be speaking about something that has just been on my mind a lot lately. And to be honest, I don't kind of have a formed structure to how I'm going to unpack this, but it is something that has just been on my mind and in the vicinity of my space. And it's just been something that I've been percolating on for quite a few weeks. And I kind of want to unpack it here with you because it relates to me and you and the world that we live in right now and where we're going, or the possibility of where we're going, whether that is going to be in healing or whether that is going to be not in healing. And what do I mean by where we're going? I mean where we are going as a society, where we are going as a species, where we are going on this planet. There's kind of the small where we're going and then the big where we're going, and I'm kind of talking about both. So why don't I stop rambling and just begin? So there's been something that's just been on my mind. I've actually seen it for a long time, but since this pandemic, it seems to have, well, it has, either it's become more intense and exaggerated and intensified, and it's increased in power and pressure and in its existence, or my awareness has just become clearer and I'm seeing it more clearly. I'm seeing something with more detail than what I was able to see before. And, you know, that's what happens when we continue our healing. I've been through a huge shift in the last 6 months in my own spiritual self, my own emotional self. You know, I feel like I've just come out of a metamorphosis where a real part of my old self disintegrated. And I'm just coming out the other side. And interestingly, and not surprisingly, I'm seeing things in a way that I couldn't see before. And maybe on another episode, I'll speak about the metamorphosis that I've been through. And yeah, I will. I'll share that with you. But for now, I want to talk to you about this thing that I'm seeing and see if I can unpack it here with you. You know, I notice that we are living in a world where what is getting celebrated and what is getting promoted and what is getting a lot of energy and attention and excitement isn't always necessarily what is truth. And it isn't always necessarily what is in our best interest. Like, I'm noticing that, you know, so much that is being celebrated is actually more story, more ego, more drama, more adrenaline. And there's kind of an addictive quality to it. And then of course, when something doesn't have that heightened, charged quality to it, you know, not many people are all that interested. And I'm noticing that, you know, we have kind of become this culture where we only really want to be around people that speak our way and say things that we understand and are comfortable with, or we only, you know, want to expose ourselves to what we know already and what makes us feel good. And because of that, we're only staying in the same place. And also we're kind of only celebrating people that continually communicate to us and things to us, and the content and the absorption of information that we're taking in. We're only really celebrating something that validates who we already are now. And we're almost completely repulsed by anything that is challenging who we are now. Now, this is a generalization, and I own that this is a generalization, but I almost have to speak in a generalized way, at least to begin with, and then maybe I can get more specific. But we're living in a culture that is repelled and repulsed by people, places, and things that challenge the reality and the perception to which we already exist in. And then we live in a culture that celebrates, where we only celebrate what validates who we already are. And it's almost like we're just becoming more and more addicted to just being comfortable and feeling better and feeling good. And those things are not the fertile ground for growth and evolution. You know, I was watching a program. I don't know what channel it was on. Maybe it doesn't matter. And it was on Mexico, and it was on the celebration of life, and it was this incredible program that was speaking about the land and how absolutely phenomenal the land is in the Yucatan, where there are no rivers, and yet civilizations were able to, the Aztecs were able to create whole communities and civilizations in pockets of land where there was literally no river anywhere nearby. And the way that they did that was by the cenotes, these incredible natural pools that were just that were kind of scattered all around the land. And what was really amazing to hear is that, you know, our ancestors, the generations and generations ago, you know, the Aztecs, it was common for them to be skilled and masters of astronomy, and physics, and they were extremely knowledgeable about the land and medicinal plants, and you know, the wisdom that these cultures had was like so much more evolved than who we are now. And it really hit me when I heard that. It kind of hit me like a slap in the face. I was like, whoa. I mean, I've heard it before, but this time I heard it. And I was like, wow, we haven't evolved since then as a species. We've gone backwards. We've gone so far backwards. And so why? And how? And that's like the opposite of evolution. Like, we are now becoming a culture that deliberately resists putting ourselves in situations or reading things or watching things or learning from teachers that speak of things that we find hard and that challenge us and that make us uncomfortable, deeply uncomfortable. Because when we hear things that don't fit in the perception and the story and the reality that we already exist in, it makes us exceptionally uncomfortable because it challenges who we think we are. And so we've kind of become this culture that just wants to feel good all the time. And literally, you know, society has we live in a society that has been created to feed that at an even more insidious, codependent level. You know, when you look at social media, this whole structure of likes and unfollows and follows, it's like, if I like what you say, I will like you. I will give you a like. And if I like what you say a lot, I will follow you. Therefore, I will expose myself to your words more. If I don't like what you say, it's instant. Boom. I will immediately be gone. unfollow, block, aggressive comment, cancel culture. You know, it's this instant repulsed rejection of hearing anything or being exposed to anything that is out of the vicinity of comfortable for us. And then we feed on that. We feed on that. So someone says something on social media that, you know, that's their opinion. That's their personal opinion. And it may not necessarily be truth, or it may not necessarily even be healthy. It may not necessarily even be beneficial. But if it pleases you, if it makes you feel good, then it will get this eruption of attention. And then, of course, that gets spread around as this amazing thing. And then, of course, that feeds into this conversation that, oh, that must be good. That must be what's good. And so we follow it more. And the problem with this is that we are becoming a culture that is only ever wanting to feel good. And we're not interested enough in exposing ourselves to information, to people, teachers, to learnings that we find hard to hear, that we find challenges our perception of who we are and reality. In fact, that gets rejected. Now, again, I'm reminding you, this is a generalization, but, and so because of this, we're just deepening our roots in the ways of being that we're in. And so let me go deeper here. What is starting to become painfully clear during this pandemic is, there's actually no nicer way to say this, the insanity of human beings. And I am one of them. I am also one of them, which is, I promise you, that's been a whole nother world of integration for me, is to see the insanity of human being and to then also see that I am one of these human beings, and that insanity is also inside of me. We are being more and more exposed, or maybe we're becoming more aware, to the insanity of how we have been living and how we are living. We have leaders that are deeply traumatized, that have immense amounts of unhealed childhood trauma, which then completely contaminates and colors the world in which they see rather than what is there. We don't see what's there. We see where we are. And so, you know, you look at Trump, who was, you know, he literally said the world is a dangerous place. And he, you know, he comes from his own childhood of abuse and strict control, and that then colors the world that he sees. Now, to him, he doesn't see it that he's seeing through his trauma. He just sees that as life. That's just the way it is, right? That is what happens to all of us. And the leaders that are running this world, generalization, majority of them, are experiencing the world through the depth of their unhealed childhood trauma. You know, I speak about this on the episode with Garba Marte. You know, Putin was really brutally bullied as a little boy in school. He was bullied because he was too small. He was short. I mean, hell, he has made sure that he will never be bullied again. The world that he experiences is one where he has to make sure that he will never be bullied again. So we are being led by human beings that have enormous levels of unhealed trauma. We as a species have enormous levels of unhealed trauma passed down from the generations before us. The leaders are creating a society that creates systems and structures that feed the way of living led by trauma. Social media, likes, dislikes, follow, don't follow. Money, consumerism, more, hungry, addiction. I mean, you just have to even look at what happened when we came out of lockdown here in the UK. Like, before anyone was able to see their grandparents, the pubs were open at 6 a.m. It was encouraged that people go to drink more alcohol than ever before you go to meet your grandparents. That's just a really blatant example. And so then society is being created in a way to feed the trauma rather than to promote the healing of trauma. And so we're starting to see the level of insanity that this is and has created. You know, when I did the episode with Jaya John, he beautifully says in his book, Freedom, Medicine Words for Your Brave Revolution. If you haven't heard that episode, please go and listen. He says, first we were oppressed. Then we oppress ourselves. And then we oppress the world. We look at racism. We look at the movement, Black Lives Matters. We look at how much insidious oppression, it's not was happening, is happening, and how it has been normalized. And for many of us, we began to wake up to that in a new way this year. We are living in a society that is celebrating our unhealed selves. And encouraging us to live in a way that only leaves us seeking to feel good and to feel better about ourselves and to feel good about ourselves and to validate who we think we are now. And so will we ever be able to become a species that is our masters in astronomy, that can build whole civilizations out of what seems like an impossible situation where there's no rivers nearby? Like, we have lost our power. It's still there, but we have lost our ability to even know how to tap into it. Generalization. And so it comes back to the original point. Are you only surrounding yourself with what makes you feel comfortable, with what validates the way in which you are seeing the world right now? Are you only interested in surrounding yourself with cultures, societies, teachers, people you follow on Instagram, people you follow anywhere, friends that will continually validate who you are now and where you're coming from right now. Because if you are, my invitation is to begin questioning that. Because, you know, most of us that are listening to this episode, we're adults. And if you think about the next generation and our children, that are we teaching them how to do hard things? Are we teaching them how to become trustworthy in their immense ability to be resilient? Are we teaching them to face difficulties and challenges that enable them to learn and grow and embody a bigger and greater sense of power? Are we teaching them to only seek what is going to make them feel good, instant gratification? Or are we teaching them to seek out the parts of life and themselves that challenges the way they see the world in order for them to continue evolving? You know, over lockdown, I do not know what has happened to my brain, but my brain feels lazy. Like I am my spelling, which was always terrible. I mean, really terrible. Anyone who knows me will be laughing right now. Has gone out the window. I'm finding it hard to articulate language as clearly and meticulously as I used to. Something is happening to my brain, and I think, and it just feels like it's getting lazy and sluggish. And so I know that that's not going to serve me in doing the work I need to do. And so I'm challenging myself. I'm reading more books that is challenging my way of seeing. I've started reading books that are educating me about the brain, educating more about the science of the brain, and just completely educating my capacity of comfortable. You know, I am a deeply intuitive, energetic, emotional, creative human being, but academia has always, always challenged me. And my brain doesn't think that way. But if I want to do the work I want to do and where I want to go, I need to change that. And I need to challenge that in order for me as an individual to evolve. And so I'm reading these books, and I can tell you, like, some of these books, like there's this one book called Religion and Nothingness by Nishitani, and it he's like a Zen master. I literally can only read a page a day because it takes me like a day to integrate just like the words on one page. It is challenging me so much. Everything in my body wants to go to sleep. Everything in me wants to just shut it down and watch Netflix. But I'm being really disciplined because I know that the only way I'm going to be able to evolve is to challenge myself and expose myself to what is uncomfortable. Do you think the Aztecs became masters of astronomy and of the land and of the plants? Do you think that they got that way just because it was easy? No, because they lived in a way where it was normal to challenge themselves. It was just part of the way of being. I'm scared that we are becoming an oversensitive exceptionally sleepy, sluggish culture. And we are forgetting how immensely powerful we are. That you and me and our children and our parents were related to whole civilizations that were masters of astronomy. That we have come from the most remarkable and incredible human beings. We have forgotten who we are. And the more we go to sleep, and the more we zone out, and the more we only expose ourselves to what is comfortable, the more we shut down the possibility that we will ever discover the immense power, the immense aliveness, the immense, limitless, expansive possibility that every single one of you and me has in us. So ask yourself, am I only exposing myself to what makes me feel good? Am I only willing to listen to things that validate what I want to hear? And if so, if the answer is yes, why? Because the only way, one thing I want to say, when we hear things that are uncomfortable for us, it mirrors the unhealed wounds that we have within ourselves. Shows us all the little doorways in to where we need to heal more. You know, when I think about, you know, I have a real story about not being smart. And I grew up, you know, I was kind of the sexy pretty one, but I wasn't the smart one. That's what I was told. And then, of course, my ancestors, you know, from the culture that I'm from, you know, women were not celebrated as smart, powerful, abundant beings. In fact, we were concubines and we were gifts to rich white men. So, you know, I have this story about not being smart. And I could easily just continue seeking out ways of living in this world that validates that. But something in me knows that that's not who I am. When I watched this program about the Aztecs, I was like, hey, I'm no different. What makes us different from them? We're the same species. So if you are exposing yourself to only what makes you feel good, my invitation to you is question it. And start taking a risk. How do you want to grow? What do you want to learn? What do you need to learn to evolve? Start listening to conversations that are hard and that challenge you. And if you have to watch it 10 or 15 times, do that. And then look in dictionaries and learn what words mean. You know, learn skills. Learn wisdom. Listen to teachers that take you out of your comfort zone. Don't just like and dislike and follow and unfollow when something makes you feel uncomfortable or comfortable. Ask yourself, is this going to help me grow? Is this going to help me evolve? remember, you have relatives, ancestors that were highly evolved beings. The only difference between you and them, and us and them, is the conditioning and the culture in which we have been exposed to. And therefore the way that we are living. Just one more thing I wanted to say. You know, when I went to the jungle last year, it was a specialized training retreat that I went on. It was a retreat specifically for healthcare professionals, therapists, psychiatrists, doctors, to come out to the jungle and deeply heal childhood trauma and work with the plants and come more into alignment or come into alignment so that we can go back into the world and do great work. Do you know what we discovered out there? I was literally in groups, a massive group with psychiatrists and doctors and therapists, and the Shipibo tribe, the maestros, the indigenous people, the doctors of the soul that we worked with out there, they said to us, I must admit, in their own language, and it was translated for us, I'm so shocked at how much trauma there is in this group because I thought you were all healers. In our culture, we are exposed to teachings and learnings and ways of being from when we're little on how to heal our wounds and how to clear our energy and how to care for our well-being and our health as an absolute responsibility to our work as healers. That doesn't even get spoken about in our culture today. It does for people like me. I'm lucky I get exposed to that, but it's not common knowledge for doctors to get that kind of support or teaching. It's not common knowledge for psychiatrists. It's not common knowledge for nurses, for many healthcare professionals on how to support them to heal their own wounds and take care of their own energy. We don't get taught this as a culture, as a species. Is this taught in school? And so, you know, we are at a fundamental crux point on our planet. Are we going to continue the way we're going? Because if we are, we are not going to evolve. Or are we going to start challenging the way we have been being? And remembering how powerful we really are. There's so much more to this than the way we're doing it. There's so much more than our screens. There's so much more than buying more. There's so much more than eating more. You know, we are able to connect with the land, to connect with nature, to connect with the universe in such immensely powerful ways that we all work together. So I'm going to finish there. I hope that you found that useful. And if there were any points in the episode that you had any big insights or aha moments, please do share them with me. And share in the episode where it was and how it impacted you, because I love to hear from you and I love to hear about your healing. So thank you so much for walking alongside me as I unpacked that today and for listening to today's Soul Surgery episode.